From the Colorado Business Roundtable studios in Denver, you're listening to the voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable, focusing on issues around business, policy, and education with leaders across local, national, and international communities, making a difference and driving business success. This is Connect and Collaborate on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
We're so glad you're joining us today here on Connect and Collaborate, where we come together each day to introduce you to our network of business and community leaders and discuss important issues impacting business in Colorado and the region. I'm Tammy Schmidt, your on-air producer, trying to do too many things at once. And today's host is Anna Ewing, COIN Executive Director and COO of the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. Anna, it's great to see you again.
Great to be back, Tammy. Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. So explain to our listeners, again, you know, we have you on once a month, and it's such a great opportunity to talk about all the technology and innovation going on in our state. Just remind everybody a little bit of what COIN does.
Certainly. So the Colorado Innovation Network is housed within our State Office of Economic Development, really aimed at pulling together Colorado's innovation ecosystem. We have some fantastic momentum going on in our innovation economy, mm-hmm. and we're coming on the show once a month to share with the listeners a little bit about what that looks like and how we're really leading in the state.
What's really exciting is you have so many great, other offices and other organizations to draw from to share with us.
We've
got a lot
indeed.
Of people working together.
We do indeed.
That's why it's a network.
We've grown the network to about 2,000 members, if you will, which mm-hmm. is really a collaboration. We're not out there actually innovating ourselves, but we are certainly highlighting what's happening here within the
right.
state, whether from government or private industry, certainly the startup community, higher education. There's a lot happening here, and the more we can amplify
yeah.
that and make connections, the better.
Yeah, so, making those connections, maybe making sure everybody gets the support they need to move forward.
And it's not so much about providing resources, Tammy,
right.
but really about making meaningful connections, bringing the right parties together
yeah.
that are doing great things and can move the dial. We know that jobs of the future are focused very much in small business, entrepreneurship, the startup community, and innovation is at the heart of all of that. So I'm especially excited
yeah.
today and the conversation we have ahead around what's happening here within Colorado.
Okay, so tell us who you have as your guest today.
I'm joined today by my colleague and collaborator, Eric Matisek. Eric is the executive director of Project Excite, which is a new initiative at the University of Denver, which he'll share more about. But he is also the chief innovation officer for the state of Colorado. He was appointed by Governor Hickenlooper in February of this year and is really leading the charge for us as a state in propelling Colorado's innovation story. In that capacity, Eric is chairman of the Colorado Innovation Network, and I'm really pleased that he's here with us today.
Eric, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Tammy. I really appreciate you having us on the show.
You know, I'm curious, do other states have a chief innovation officer?
You know, we're one of a handful of states that have an appointed position that's with a chief innovation officer that's active, really propelling, I think, to Anna's point, the culmination of the activities around innovation, entrepreneurship, technologies to drive the innovation discussion and dialogue in the state. And Governor Hickenlooper, with his leadership, recognized back in 2011 and appointing the first chief innovation officer in 2012 to this position, really recognized the need to drive innovation across the state. And to think to Anna's point, build the network of collaborative partners mm-hmm. that tell the story of all the wonderful things that are happening here and also the growth and momentum we have as a state from an economic development perspective and those who are helping accelerate it. And so we are one of a handful of states that have a chief innovation officer.
That's great. And that's really kind of one of the things Colorado's known for is being kind of up on that innovation and technology and making those advancements, right?
Well, we certainly think so. People are flocking here. We have some great business stories come out of the state really on a daily basis. So it's exciting. One thing I'd like to highlight about the innovation officer role is I think that can be confused with a position focused on innovating within mm-hmm. state government. We're going to talk a little bit more about that on today's show and how we see real opportunity to highlight where Colorado does indeed lead in terms of innovative thinking around public service delivery. But really, through the COIN platform, we're aiming to highlight and spread the good word about things that are happening across industry sectors and really across that entire innovation economy.
Great. Today we're talking with Anna Ewing, COIN Executive Director, and from the Office of Economic Development and International Trade, and also Eric Matizik, the Chief Innovation Officer for Colorado. So we have a couple minutes left in this segment, Anna. What should we move on to here? I guess tell us a little bit of, like, how do you define innovation?
I think it'd be interesting for everyone to hear a little bit more about Eric's background.
Exactly.
He has a unique lens into Colorado's innovation economy, having been a successful entrepreneur working in private industry, mm-hmm. leading a trade association, and now working in higher education. So, Eric, tell us a little bit about your view of innovation in Colorado and what is so special about this place.
I think the question, you know, what innovation means is a really critical one. What we've seen over the course of, especially over the last 5 years, innovation is really driving all the elements of our economy, and not just our core technology sectors, where a lot of times I think it's easy to understand and think that innovation lives, but it's driving it across many of the industries where you think that innovation is not a big propeller. And I would say something like, in the public sector, is a critical element where we're seeing a lot of things happening that are, you know, whether it's process activities or big initiatives like RoadX happening right here in our state, innovation's happening everywhere. And it's really that creation of what's next, what's new, through, you know, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's really thinking and embracing really big, critical, wicked problems. It's that idea that we can progress not only as a community but as a state through our activities. And I think that we're seeing innovation at all levels, whether it's in higher ed, whether it's in our community, whether it's in our public sector, whether it's in our private sector. And Colorado has a history and a reputation for always being innovative. And I think that we're seeing that more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing it across a broad base of activities.
Eric, how did you get your start in entrepreneurship, and what about that from your past experience is now carried into your role at DU?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always been fortunate enough to kind of have an entrepreneurial bend. I actually started my entrepreneurial career at DU. I started my first company in the dorms at the University of Denver, and so it's very serendipitous going back full circle to help build a program that's focused on entrepreneurship and innovation and helping develop those entrepreneurs of the future. I've always been one that I think has tried to solve problems and always looked at things a little bit differently and figured out exactly, you know, how we can have a better world. And entrepreneurship is everywhere, and anyone can do it. So I really embrace that and think that our entrepreneurs are everywhere.
Great. We're going to talk more with Anna Ewing from COIN and Eric Matizik, the Executive Director of Project Excite. We're going to talk about innovation in higher education. We come back on Connect and Collaborate.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Be informed of Colorado's role in national security and our place in global affairs. The Colorado Business Roundtable, along with the Aurora Chamber, South Metro Denver Chamber, the Posner Center, and COGA, invite you to a dynamic lunch discussion with Representative Mike Kaufman on the positive impact of global affairs in Colorado. The U.S. Global Leadership Coalition presents Shaping America's Global Impact. What's at stake for U.S. national security and Colorado's economy? Mark your calendar for lunchtime, August 12th at the Hyatt Regency Aurora. As featured speaker, Representative Mike Kaufman addresses American foreign policy, Colorado, and our nation's international affairs programs. Registration is limited. Go to usglc.org/events to sign up today. That's usglc.org/events. Once again, usglc.org/events. We'll see you on August 12th.
CNC is supported by Icosa Media, a full-service media production house located in Denver, Colorado. Icosa Media provides custom media production here in Denver, Colorado. They choose to support the Colorado Business Roundtable because they believe in this state and value the business development opportunities that the roundtable provides. They have been able to connect CNC with great clients and have offered access to high-profile interviewees such as Governor John Hickenlooper and Mayor Michael Hancock. As a member of the COBRT, you'll receive 20% off media production services. So if your business businesses looking to grow and engage your audience. Join the Colorado Business Roundtable and call ICOSA Media. They have the tools and expertise to make you successful. Website design and digital advertising, high-end video production for both documentary and narrative styles, event photography, and even live streaming. Visit ICOSAMedia.com and check out their recent projects and see what they can do for you. Visit ICOSAMedia.com. ICOSA Media. Tell your story.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. Our office is up there and it's sweltering. We've used one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. The AC ran constantly, yet the only cool place in the house is the basement. My husband started insisting we buy a new air conditioner, and that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted our ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement. And this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter as well. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Call them at 303-761-0729, on the web at air-swap.com. 303-761-0729 or air-swap.com.
Hi, this is Master Gunnery Sergeant Jeff Cooper. I also am a listener to 710 KNUS. After my wife and I survived a near-death head-on motorcycle crash, we called attorney Jeremy Kay for help. He worked day and night to get us what we were entitled to. Unlike a lot of attorneys today, Jeremy Kay makes house calls. He's been there for us every step of the way. Jeremy understands that many of you folks who listen to this station prefer to have a lawyer who sees things from your point of view. Well, I certainly do. I think it's time to put the personal back into handling personal injury. For more information, visit cavelawyer.com. Again, that's cavelawyer.com.
Jeremy Cave only gets paid when you do. Call Cave Law now for a free at-home consultation. 720-213-3737. If you're injured in an accident, call 720-213-3737. Or check out the brand new website, cavelawyer.com. That's cavelawyer.com. Personal and caring service from Cave Law. Call Jeremy today, 720-213-3737.
We now return to Connect and Collaborate, voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
We're so glad you're listening today. Today, our host is Anna Ewing. She's the COIN Executive Director and the COO of the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. And as many times as I try, I just can't get that to roll right off my tongue.
It is a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. And we're also talking with Eric Matizek. Very exciting, executive director of Project Excite, which is within the at DU.
It is, and it's a cross-disciplinary initiative that is relatively new. Eric is the executive director. Eric, tell us more about Project Excite, what it stands for, how it fits in with the overall university landscape, and why it's such an exciting initiative that you wanted to be a part of.
Thank you, Anna. Project Excite, we are really excited at the University of Denver about what we're doing there. And the acronym is intentional. The X stands for cross-discipline, as Anna mentioned. The I, innovation, T, technologies, and E, entrepreneurship. And it's really the belief that in higher ed today, we've got to best prepare our students for the real world work they're going to experience, and that's often in cross-discipline teams or teams across an office. It's often, in solving deep, wicked problems in all sorts of industries, and it's our attempt to really figure out how we can engage our students in real-life activities across the campus, not just in the business school, the law school, or the engineering school.
Okay.
But this is truly a partnership of all three of those schools to position our students to be the best leaders they can be in the future.
Can students get some sort of certificate from Project Excite? Is it a degree program? Tell us more about how that actually impacts the student experience for someone that's interested in really entrepreneurship and leading in the ways that you intend to prepare them.
Absolutely. We've been offering a minor in entrepreneurship at the University of Denver for years. This is really a strategic initiative from the trustees and our chancellor level down. To really unify the campus through entrepreneurship, innovation, and technologies. What you'll see over the course of the next few months is us really start to deploy a lot of different programs across the city to raise the voice of the innovation activities and entrepreneurship dialogue at the university. You'll see our students be involved in a lot of things like the Colorado Innovation Network or Denver Startup Week or the Commons on Champa, or a lot of the organizations that kind of exemplify the best of entrepreneurship and innovation in the state. And then you're really going to see us really start to develop programs that will get our students engaged. I think phase two, we're really going to look at those curricular activities that really start to bridge into what the university, how that really embraces for the long-term innovation on campus. Is that a center? Is that a full curriculum or, you know, to your point, a certificate or a degree or some, you know, a much broader range of degree offerings around entrepreneurship? We'll see. But it's something we really want to develop on campus and explore with our students and our trustees and our faculty.
We talk a lot about experiential learning, and it sounds like that's very much what this is aimed to provide, is hands-on, real-life replicating experiences in a university environment that provide that flavor of entrepreneurship and provide the students that exposure. What's your thoughts on experiential learning in terms of post-secondary education? How important is that for the jobs that will be in demand in the future?
Experiential learning is at the center, I think, of any great higher ed program in the future. And I think the University of Denver, we're not alone in really trying to make sure that we bring industry as close to the campus as possible. The gap between what's being taught in classrooms and the jobs that our students are getting, it's got to continually compress because the rate of business is accelerating at such a pace that if we're not updating our curriculum and our teaching at the same pace that we're changing the process and procedures inside of what's happening inside of industry, we have lags. And when you can see that at a variety of different areas in higher ed where they're not incredibly aligned. We're working really hard with Project Excite to look at some of those most high growth industries and really put students in circumstances where you have an engineer working with a lawyer or a business student working with an engineer to solve real problems in companies. And that's the way they're going to do it when they get out. That's the way once they leave the university and continue their path of learning, that's the way they're going to continue to engage. And so the more we can emulate that, I think the better we can teach our students and the more we can prepare them for the leadership skills they'll need to be really effective in their careers.
So really an approach towards developing technical or subject matter experts, but those that have practiced abilities to communicate and effectively partner in the ways that we know are so necessary in today's business world.
Yeah, the soft skills are critical, and I don't think we talk about it enough. A lot of times we're so focused on getting that degree with the parameters that are outlined and kind of measurable, you know, mm-hmm. in those areas. And what we're finding, especially in areas of entrepreneurship and innovation, is that our companies, especially our fast-growing, high-growth, kind of high-velocity, notable businesses, they are very innovative. They're leveraging entrepreneurial and lean practices or agile thinking or design-based problem solving throughout their organizations every single day. And they want students and leaders in their organizations to embrace that. And so the best way to prepare students for that type of activity is to put them in that situation before they graduate. And so that's one of the core things you're going to see with Project Excite is a series of programs across a variety of student, faculty, and community-based activities that put students in those activities.
And obviously, entrepreneurship is not new. People have been creating commercial opportunities and dealing with new ideas in innovative ways really since the beginning of time. Eric, to what do you attribute really this global momentum that we have around entrepreneurship and innovation today? What's behind that, and where do you think it's going to head?
I think what you said first is most important. I don't think entrepreneurship or innovation is something that's new. I mean, I think that the velocity of what's happening in our economy and our society is continuing to accelerate. And I think pop culture and I think a lot of things that are external are driving that, especially when we look at a lot of our millennial-based work set. The aspiration to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or the aspiration to be the next Travis Kalanick of Uber, those things seem really attainable because they've happened relatively quickly. Not only have they built really great businesses, but they've also become highly successful. And they've done it with tools that have not required the same level of technical depth or expertise in you know, cycles past. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of students and entrepreneurs, you know, turn to innovation and building companies as a true career path early on because it's so attainable, it's so visible, it translates that it's so easy to actually try to, you know, pursue. And, you know, I think that's what's really driven the growth of entrepreneurship. And things like Silicon Valley on HBO and other things like that, of course, make it fun and, you know, accelerate kind of the ideas around what it's like to work in those companies. But I think it's really, you know, the next chapter of, you know, the American spirit coming alive, you know, through the success of what we've been able to do from as an innovative economy.
What's your thoughts on whether or not entrepreneurship, that true entrepreneurial spirit, is that something that can be taught? The age-old nurture versus nature concept, how do you anticipate that that plays out in a setting such as Project Excite?
Yeah, entrepreneurship is something I think that, you know, there's always going to be a debate around, is this something that can be taught? Can you learn to be a great entrepreneur? And the way that we're tackling that at the University of Denver is through orientation. Project Excite is set up that, you know, we want this project and program to be a university-wide orientated program, and the intent is to put students in an environment where they're around entrepreneurship and innovation-based activities, and they're orientated towards that type of design thinking or critical problem solving or entrepreneurship, and they're going to self-select. And the students that self-select and say, wow, that sparks went off. I love that. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to do this. We have a whole series of different programs and on-ramps for them to travel through the university and through the community to be great entrepreneurs. But if they say, you know what, that entrepreneurship thing really wasn't for me, that's great too. You know, we have an amazing university with a ton of really great programs that, you know, we want them to be really successful in their own domain and their own accord. And so, you know, I think entrepreneurship is about orientation. I think it's about inspiration. I think especially in our underrepresented areas, it's really about role models. I don't think we have enough minorities and women leaders that are leading into high entrepreneurial level to really spark, you know, those, you know, awesome groups of leaders to continue to rise above. But we're seeing more and more of it. And so I think the more that we have really great role models in those areas, you'll just see a continued birth of entrepreneurship.
And certainly if we ascribe to the theory that higher education is arguably not just about preparing future leaders for
right.
their careers, but also about preparing future citizens and all that comes with that, I think those soft skills become all the more important and critical as we see yeah. these models evolve. One thing you and I have talked about at length is the role of technology in both entrepreneurship and innovation, and obviously that's a key component of Project Excite. You have a lot of background. You come out of the tech world, former CEO of the Colorado Technology Association. What's your thoughts on technology as a sector versus technology as simply the language by which things get done personally and in a business setting? What's the role of tech?
I think 10 years ago, I think technology was a vertical. I really believe that it was something you could say IT or information technology was a measurable portion of our economy. Today, technology is everywhere. It's that true horizontal. And whether you're in healthcare, oil and gas, engineering, you name it, the industry is going to have a really, really core technology strategy. It's going to have a core technology innovation pipeline, and it's going to have to embrace technology to compete. And so I think technology as an economy is going to continue to expand. It's going to continue to drive, but I think you're going to see more of a broad-based engagement. And we saw that a lot at the Colorado Technology Association, where you had, even over the last 5 years, huge industries in Colorado like healthcare and our digital healthcare economy or energy and our oil and gas economy have just come alive through the integration and adoption of technologies. And I don't think that's going to slow down. And I think the public sector's next. I think we've got a really great opportunity for them to be that next wave of innovation and excitement, and technology is going to help drive that.
Which is a great segue, I think, into what we'll talk about after the commercial break. But
mm-hmm.
as we head in, final information that you'd want the listeners to know, Eric, about DU or Project Excite.
Absolutely. Please stay tuned. You can check us out at Project Excite, projectexite.org. And we'd love for you all to be involved. This is truly a university-wide initiative with deep community intentions. And so we'd love any and all to be involved as we start to, you know, educate and train some of our future leaders around entrepreneurship and innovation on campus.
Thank you so much, Eric Matysik, for sharing that. And we're going to be back with more with Eric and with Anna Ewing from COIN. You're listening to Connect and Collaborate, the voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable. We're talking about the Colorado Innovation Network and Project Excite. Stay with us for more.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Obama says the most precise air campaign ever continues to hammer Islamic State targets. Mr. Obama made the comment after a security briefing at the Pentagon. He says the air campaign continues to take out top operatives in the extremist group. He says successes in the air and by allied ground forces show that the group is not invincible and inevitably will be defeated. But Mr. Obama also said that will take more than military action. GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump says House Speaker Paul Ryan is a good guy, but Trump has refused for another day to endorse the Republican speaker. Trump's campaign chief has acknowledged that there has been division inside Trump Tower over the Ryan issue. Ryan, meanwhile, says he still supports Trump, but that endorsements are not blank checks. Ryan says he'll continue to speak out if necessary about Trump positions. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 3 points, the NASDAQ up 6.5, the S&P unchanged. This is SRN News.
Step one, you need something to sell.
Hi, this is Angel, and coming up on the Experience Pros Radio Show.
Step two, you need someone to sell it to.
Eric and I are going to give you the essentials to building your startup force.
Step three, listen to the Experience Pros.
Positive business talk weekday mornings right here on the Experience Pros Radio Show.
The Experience Pros, Eric Raymer and Angel Tussey, weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
The Colorado Business Roundtable is working for your business. As an advocate for proactive legislation that strengthens the economy and helps businesses grow and thrive in Colorado, the work we do makes your business stronger. We work with lawmakers, industry leaders, and educational institutions to ensure effective policy that supports good business, as well as a strong, educated workforce. The Colorado Business Roundtable is a network that expands our influence and reach. Go to COBRT.com to learn more, subscribe to our newsletter, and get involved.
BGASC stands for Buy Gold and Silver Coins. BGASC is one of the largest, fastest, and most trusted precious metal suppliers in the United States. BGASC's prices on gold and silver coins and bars are extremely competitive. There are no order minimums, no hidden fees, and all orders $250 or more ship free. BGASC has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of satisfied customers. Visit BGASC.com. Buy gold and silver coins. That's BGASC.com today.
You've heard of the show Shark Tank, but you need to beware of the real sharks out there. To grow your business, you need money yesterday. But the banks aren't helping. Hard money lending is the answer. But look out. There are sharks in the water. Attorney and CPA Steve Replin will help you navigate the waters, avoid the sharks, and best of all, get you the money. Avoid the chum. Check out HardMoneyCoaching.com. 303-322-7919. That's 303-322-7919.
This is a special notice to all U.S. taxpayers. If you owe the IRS or state back taxes and cannot afford to pay them back, there's good news. Due to the financial hardship many are facing in today's economy, the IRS has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Qualifying for this program will resolve your tax problem and all collections and possibly reduce your back taxes by up to 90%. If you are facing wage garnishments, liens, bank levies, audits, or payroll taxes, it's not too late. Your circumstances may qualify you for this special program, protecting your savings and your assets. If you owe the IRS or state back taxes and cannot afford to pay them back, there's no need to worry anymore. Call the hotline at Victory Tax Solutions to see if you qualify and potentially save thousands. For this free information, call 800-352-4757. 800-352-4757. That's 800-352-4757.
What's for dinner?
You're exhausted after a long day at work and a heck of a commute. The last thing you want to do is cook a meal. You need Chef Curry's Cuisine. Chef Curry's Cuisine can make family dinner fun again by preparing home-cooked meals by a local Denver chef. Chef Curry will do the shopping, cook 2 weeks of Monday through Friday dinners, provide the packaging and cleanup too. All of Chef Curry's meals are made with the freshest ingredients, and you get to choose them from a large variety of proteins and sides. So, next time you hear,
"What's for dinner?"
you can say, Chef Curry's Cuisine. No more hassles, just healthy, fresh meals for you to enjoy. Visit ChefCurry'sCuisine.com and get details on weekly menus, along with brand new catering options for your private parties or office functions. Or call 720-404-2798. That's 720-404-2798. Go on, add some spice to your meals. Start with Chef Curry's Cuisine.
Now back to Connect and Collaborate. Voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you for listening today. Our host is Anna Ewing, COIN Executive Director and COO of the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. Always a tongue twister. I really need to work on that. I need to practice that in my sleep. And then we're also talking with Eric Matizek, who is the Chief Innovation Officer for Colorado and the Executive Director of Project Excite.
Thank you, Tammy. And Eric is the chairman of the Colorado Innovation Network Board, a role he took over from Mark Sarangelo in February of this year. And we've been at a bit of an inflection point, quite frankly, with the network and what to do with it going forward to really continue to drive the Colorado innovation story and best connect that ecosystem. The ecosystem has changed dramatically over the last 4 years since COIN's inception. The number of efforts around supporting innovation, entrepreneurship, technology, connecting different elements across the sectors really is remarkable. We put a list together not too long ago, and it was a lengthy one. So we're incredibly enthused and proud of what's happened here within the state, really as an environment very conducive to innovation, which we know is beneficial to the Colorado economy of the future. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk just about where we're heading with the network and then get Eric's thoughts really on the strategy and specifically some programming and elements that we have in sight as we head into the fall. COIN was initially founded on the idea that ideas, entrepreneurship, capital, and talent were fundamental to an innovation economy, and we have all of those in spades here within Colorado. We talk a little bit about the public sector as the next frontier, a massive market opportunity whereby we're seeing innovations and technologies really start to permeate how public services are delivered. We're going to be exploring that as we move ahead, Tammy, and really taking a look at opportunities to connect entrepreneurs and innovators, the startup community, with leaders in government, both state and local, so that we can explore how those parties might collaborate a little bit more closely, and we can really influence how those public services are delivered. We're off to a great start, as Eric mentioned, here within Colorado. We have a very pro-business government construct. Again, we have some great momentum across a very diverse economy that we're constantly working to support and encourage. And I think we're very well positioned here within the state to explore what's possible in terms of innovation within the public sector. Eric, what are your thoughts as you look back on the last 4 years since COIN was first stood up? Obviously, it's changed a lot. You've seen that through various lenses in your roles here within the state. But what strikes you as most compelling as you reflect on COIN's history?
You know, I think first we have to really, you know, give a head nod and a thank you to Mark Sarangelo, our last Chief Innovation Officer, and before that, Jay Menin at the Colorado State University, who was our first Chief Innovation Officer, because over the course of time when the governor first created this role, you know, the need was to really bring more capital into the state, really have a platform to discuss the ideas, celebrate our entrepreneurs that are really growing and building our economy, and really be a platform to talk about how we attract and grow talent in the state. And as we look over the last, you know, 5 years of the Colorado Innovation Network, a lot of the things I think the governor had set out to do raised the state's profile in the innovation discussion. Check. You know, again and again, even in a recent New York Times article, you know, Colorado is looked at as one of the most innovative states in the nation right now. You know, be a place that attracts talent, you know, not only the largest millennial migration over the course of the last decade, but, you know, it's also a place where you have the most highly educated workforce coming into the state continually and building our high growth sectors and high growth economy. So check mark. And then I think from an entrepreneurial perspective, you watch the ecosystem grow dramatically. You have great success stories like TechStars or, you know, even community programs like Denver Startup Week that have really started to define what's happening here in the Front Range. And they've just added to the discussion and dialogue around all things here in our community. And I think from, you know, the last one was, you know, how do we build a place that we can really discuss ideas? You know, the Innovation Network has done a tremendous job doing that. You know, the four summits that it's produced have been that place that have been that cross-collaborative area that have brought together the public and private and nonprofit sectors to have really deep discussion around the leading ideas. And these are, you know, reflective with people like Safra Katz from Oracle or Jeff Immelt from General Electric, and bringing in the best thought leaders in the United States to really drive that. And so a lot of the things we set out to do with the Cloud Innovation Network, we've had some really great achievements. And as we look forward, what's that next frontier of innovation? And I think, Anna, you mentioned, we really believe that there's a really strong story about what we're doing in the state of Colorado from a public perspective. The governor's always been one who said he wants to make the government a much simpler process and environment to engage with. How do we constantly make it easier for our citizens to engage with our public agencies and our public activities? Those things are easier said than done. And the governor's done a terrific job of laying the framework to really start to have not only discussions but put programs in place to do that. And so I think as we look forward to the Cloud Innovation Network, we want to really put a spotlight on things like our Department of Transportation's project, RoadX, which is looking to kind of reinvent the way that we look at transportation in the state of Colorado. Mobile Choice, which is a project that's a joint partnership with the Denver Chamber in the state of Colorado, looking to really figure out how we can better mobilize our citizens across a variety of different areas across the state. How can we look at process and activities and procurement with inside the state and make it easier to really unlock the value of these innovative products opportunities to drive what's happening in our public sector? Those are some of the things worth looking at as we look forward and really, building a platform to not only have a discussion, but highlight the great work that Colorado's doing, and then use that as a model, not just for Colorado, but for the United States.
Eric, you have been involved deeply in the innovation scene within the greater metro and within the state for a while now, and have been part of some movements that are so fundamental to where we've been and where we're going. Tell us a little bit more about those. Denver Startup Week is coming up in September. We have the Commons on Champa. There's a couple really fantastic initiatives that have taken shape and are now known on a global basis. What should we know more about those?
Yeah, I think you can really look back to 2007, and Colorado and Boulder really started to take off with the advent of Techstars. And Brad Feld and David Cohen and Jared Polis and Brad Brown did a terrific job launching what really was been kind of an epicenter of an area that's spawned a lot of other great activities. From that, we've seen programs like Denver Startup Week be created now in its fifth year. This year, we hope to have over 15,000 attendees, and it's been named the largest free entrepreneurial event in the United States. That really is a celebration of not just everything in Denver, but everything in the Front Range around entrepreneurship. The Commons on Champa is a really great project that's really built a ground zero or a home for democratizing entrepreneurship in central downtown. And that's a project that's been a public-private partnership between the City and County of Denver, the Downtown Denver Partnership, and the Colorado Technology Association to really democratize access to resources and activities to drive entrepreneurship. And then I think, things like Startup Colorado, which is an initiative put in place by Brad Feld and Phil Weiser, to unify Colorado Springs, Denver, and Fort Collins and Boulder. And then I would bookend it with the really great work that J.B. Holston and Brad Greg Greenwood and the team at the Blackstone Entrepreneurship's done to really build a network to help our scale-up companies. And so when you look at the sum of the parts, there's a whole series of programs that have all been created in the last 5 years that individually are all awesome, but collectively are really starting to tell the story of innovation and entrepreneurship in the state. And I think we're just really lucky that we've got great volunteers and great leaders that have, taken these opportunities by the horns and made them into something really special that's not only special for each program, but is really defining Colorado.
Which is such an element of our identity. You mentioned collaboration, you mentioned access, you mentioned the democracy around that. I mean, arguably what all of those efforts have in common is that people are willing to share and compare notes and experiment, which we know is such a great component of an environment conducive to innovation. So more to come on all of those, but certainly some fantastic things to look forward to.
Exactly, and that's exactly why we promote connection and collaboration here on our show and with the Colorado Business Roundtable. So today we're talking with Anna Ewing with COIN and EODIT, and Eric Matizek is her guest, Chief Innovation Officer for the state of Colorado and Executive Director of Project Excite. So coming up in the next segment, Anna.
We're going to talk more about Colorado in the global innovation economy. We've really put a mark on that, and we're excited to talk about it.
Right. We're pretty well known for that. So we're going to come back with more here on Connect and Collaborate.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Be informed of Colorado's role in national security and our place in global affairs. The Colorado Business Roundtable, along with the Aurora Chamber, South Metro Denver Chamber, the Posner Center, and COGA, invite you to a dynamic lunch discussion with Representative Mike Kaufman on the positive impact of global affairs in Colorado. The U.S. Global Leadership Coalition presents Shaping America's Global Impact. What's at stake for U.S. national security and Colorado's economy? Mark your calendar for lunchtime, August 12th at the Hyatt Regency Aurora, as featured speaker, Representative Mike Kaufman, addresses American foreign policy, Colorado, and our nation's international affairs programs. Registration is limited. Go to usglc.org/events to sign up today. That's usglc.org/events. Once again, usglc.org/events. We'll see you on August 12th.
CNC is supported by Icosa Media, a full-service media production house located in Denver, Colorado. Icosa Media provides custom media production here in Denver, Colorado. They choose to support the Colorado Business Roundtable because they believe in this state and value the business development opportunities that the Roundtable provides. They have been able to connect CNC with great clients and have offered access to high-profile interviewees such as Governor John Hickenlooper and Mayor Michael Hancock. As a member of the COBRT, you'll receive 20% off media production services. So if your business is looking to grow and engage your audience, join the Colorado Business Roundtable and call Icosa Media. They have the tools and expertise to make you successful. Website design and digital advertising, high-end video production for both documentary and narrative styles, event photography, and even live streaming. Visit IcosaMedia.com and check out their recent projects and see what they can do for you. Visit IcosaMedia.com. Icosa Media, tell your story.
Can you hear your garage door shake, rattle, and roll throughout your home every single time it goes up or goes down? Hi, this is Dave Logan. I talked to Don at Don's Garage Door about this problem, and they have new garage door systems that are really quiet. Now, I've used Don's Garage Doors in my house, found them to be knowledgeable and fairly priced. They're great. You should call them at 303-794-0604, 303-794-0604, or check out donsgaragedoors.com. Hi, this is Dave Logan for Don's Garage Doors. You know, putting in a new garage door not only increases the curb appeal of your home, but it also makes it easier to sell. I was talking to Don the other day, and he told me it's the best investment, dollar for dollar, that you can make in your home. All I know is that I've had Don's Garage Door out to my home, and I trust him. Great work at a great price. Call Don's Garage Door today at 303-794-0604. Or you can check them out at donsgaragedoors.com.
Let's talk about America's Wellness Clinic, where they are addressing two of the greatest concerns today, especially as people get older: health and financial well-being. Feeling perpetually unfocused, sluggish, tired, or exhausted for about the same cost as a daily cup of coffee? America's Wellness Clinic offers applications that can boost blood circulation, enhance energy, reduce stress, manage sleep, help mental acuity, and give regenerative abilities for sports and work injuries. Over 100,000 Americans die each year from adverse prescription drug reactions. America's Wellness Clinic provides a simple test that reveals which prescription drugs will work best for you. Soon, America's Wellness Clinic will be providing a non-invasive cancer predisposition test, analyzing 31 genes linked to 8 of the most prevalent and devastating cancers. And what about your financial well-being? The professionals at America's Wellness Clinic provide continuous seminars and information about reverse mortgages, insurance, tax and estate planning, long-term care, college funding sources, alternative investments, and much more. Let America's Wellness Clinic provide you with sensible health and wealth solutions. Call 303-985-4604 or visit them online at americaswellnessclinic.com.
We now return to Connect and Collaborate, voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you for staying with us today. I'm Tammy Schmidt, your on-air producer, and today's host is Anna Ewing. She's the executive director of COIN and also with EODIT. Trying to make these things roll off my tongue, and we'll get there.
OEDIT.
See, I can't do letters. That's why I always try to say the whole. Yep, I can't do acronyms, so I try to say the title, and then I screw that up. So here we are. We're back. Thanks, Anna. And then we also have Eric Matizic joining us, Chief Innovation Officer for the State of Colorado and Executive Director of Project Excite.
Thanks, Tammy. You know, certainly in talking about Colorado's economy, we have some global brand awareness that continues to grow. Many reasons for that, but I think it'd be interesting to get Eric's thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. In terms of Colorado as a competitive marketplace, what are the natural and, quite frankly, man-made assets that really contribute to that? And what is your prediction for how Colorado will be seen on a worldwide basis as a place for business, for innovation, for growth of the future?
Yeah, Colorado's really made some strides in the last few years, and I think we can see them visibly with things like the transportation system downtown, really starting to tie together and stitch together all the pieces that are bringing our city and bringing our metro region alive, but also with the global nature of some of the activities like opening up flights to Panama or Tokyo, which are really big kind of emblematic ideas that, you know, we are truly a global city. But from an innovation perspective, you know, you're always known by, you know, what you do and what you produce. And I think, you know, we still rest deeply on travel and tourism. You know, I think we are, you know, one of the number one states to experience, you know, definitely skiing, but, you know, outdoor activities. And I think we continue to hang our hat on that. But, you know, I think we're becoming more known for things like Techstars, especially in the innovation economy, which, you know, is a global platform that operates in tens of countries and I think has 40 programs around the world. That is starting to tell the story of Colorado in a new and meaningful way. I think, you know, we've got industries like our fiber assets like Level 3 and Zayo Group and CenturyLink and Comcast that, you know, a majority of their operations are here in the state of Colorado. And, you know, they traffic, you know, a large share of the global network traffic for all of us. And, you know, we're starting to define our state by some of the assets here that we truly are a leader in infrastructure and fiber and connectivity. By some of the things we're doing. And then I look at some of the emerging areas, but we're starting to tell some really big stories. You know, as we were a cable city of old or a telecom city of old or, you know, an oil and gas, you know, city over time, you know, the story today is really starting to look at things like the cybersecurity economy, digital health, and really telling the story of software companies. Over 75% of the companies that get funded in the state of Colorado happen to have some core software bend, and that's starting to tell a global story that we're a place that you can come bring your idea and build that. And so I think we're going to, you know, I think looking forward, especially as we continue to open up, you know, flights and access into this incredible city, the secret of having the world's best lifestyle with talent to support innovators and entrepreneurs' dreams, that's not going to be a secret for too much longer, and the state's going to continue to expand and grow. And I really think we will add 1 million people over the next 10 years. It sounds like a really crazy big number, but I think it's going to happen.
Those mountains are hard to hide.
Yeah.
Certainly. We do host a lot of international delegations. We have a lot of interest really from around the world in what is so special about Colorado. How do you innovate? How do you open the hood? How do you collaborate across industry sectors and verticals? So certainly within our office alone play a key role in really showcasing what's happening here within the state. But Eric, I'm curious, DU certainly has a large international student populace as well. What are you hearing from students in terms of why Colorado? What was the attraction with respect to our environment and really this spirit of innovation?
When I look at what's happening in higher ed, I mean, we've got a great group of research institutions in the state of Colorado. DU happens to be to be one of those, alongside of CU and CSU. And as we start to look at, you know, what the opportunity is, you know, students are choosing Colorado for a variety of reasons. I think that there's a story here that, you know, is the lifestyle story. But I think more importantly, when you look at the depth of some of the engineering programs that we're producing or, you know, being, you know, the number one or number two aerospace economy in the U.S. and some of the elements around the defense economy that are happening, you know, people are coming here because they're interested in what's happening, you know. And I think that the research that's happening in, you know, our almost 30 research labs around the state of Colorado, that's happening everything from weather and atmospheric activities to agriculture to defense. And so those are hidden assets and hidden gems that I think that the delegations you're talking about, whether they're from Japan or whether they're from, you know, areas across Europe, I mean, they're really interested in how we innovate. They see the collaboration with our research institutions and our institutions of higher ed and our national labs. And they look at that as a model. And they also see an environment where we've got leadership at all levels. You know, our mayors, across our cities are incredibly collaborative. And our governor's one of the best leaders we've had from an innovation and entrepreneurial perspective ever. He's highly, highly embraced the innovation economy. He's an entrepreneur himself, so he understands the grips and grinds of growing businesses and hiring employees and managing a company. And he's really passionate about it. You know, working closely with him and seeing his eyes light up when he sees that next new big idea, or he hears about the next thing that's coming out of one of our labs, or that next new discovery that, you know, one of our great aerospace companies is working on. He just lights up. You know, the cerebral excitement around what he wants to do with the state, you can just see it. And so it's no secret that because of that, you know, he's had a high interest in making sure that Colorado is an innovative state because he loves it. And he's mm-hmm. and he craves that intellectual kind of, excitement around it. And I think it's been reflective in his leadership.
Eric, you mentioned the research and development community, but to clarify for the listeners, we have 30 federally funded research labs here within the state, so a high concentration of a very rich R&D effort, which is not widely known, but certainly contributes significantly to not only economic impact, but to opportunities for technology transfer, integration with industry, really that has impact on a global scale. So something that we're proud of and that certainly contributes to the ecosystem that we have here within Colorado. Let's talk a little bit about areas of opportunity. One thing that we discuss frequently is capital. How do we get more money mm-hmm. into the state? How do we drive investment here into the geography such that our startup companies, our growth companies can stay and can continue to grow here within Colorado? So capital is one that I would highlight. But what are your thoughts on other areas of opportunity or challenges, quite frankly, that we have in terms of continuing to drive that competitive edge?
Yeah, and I would echo that. I think the right amount of capital or access to capital for our innovation entrepreneurial economy has been critical and will continue to be critical. But the other side of that is talent. You know, I think the big governor that we have with some of our high growth companies is making sure that we have the velocity of really great people that they can recruit, hire, and retain to grow those businesses. And when we're talking about companies like Datalogix or companies like Ibotta or SendGrid or Rally Software, now owned by CA, or Ping Identity, or even in the cybersecurity area, companies like Optive or ProtectWise, these workers are highly skilled, and they have a terrific depth of education and talent, and I think having access to that over time is something that any of our innovation cities are struggling with. But I think for us to continue to have our foot down, we've got to be really creative as a community and, you know, as public sector servants to figure out how to solve that. And part of it's a higher ed solution, part of it's a K-12 solution, part of it's in how do we import more folks into the state solution. But it's the sum of those parts that gives the fuel to our companies to have the headcount to grow at the pace that Silicon Valley and others are growing. And so I would say that's a big governor, and it's something that we've got to keep our eyes on to be a competitive state.
And certainly a lot of great minds working on that, whether
Absolutely.
It's skills gap or workforce development, talent pipeline, educating Colorado's own for the jobs of the future. Some fantastic initiatives, many under the governor's leadership, which, again, I think we can be incredibly proud of. Not easy challenges to solve, but certainly opportunities, which I think we can continue to lead in and are doing so each and every day. So I appreciate we're coming to the top of the hour, Tammy.
Yeah.
Certainly it's a privilege working with Eric on the Colorado Innovation Network, and would encourage everyone to stay tuned as we further explore
Certainly.
This next frontier, specifically around innovation within the public sector, which can have impact for all of us,
mm-hmm.
Which is really exciting. Eric, final thoughts on Project Excite, Denver Startup Week, a plug for some of the upcoming calendar events that we have. What would you like to leave?
I would just say get involved. I think that this is some of those exciting times in the next cycle of Colorado, and there's so many opportunities to get involved, whether it's with us with the Colorado Innovation Network, whether it's through programs like Denver Startup Week, or whether it's just through the myriad of programs that are available in our community. I think getting involved is really critical. And I think the last thing I'd love to say is that, you know, the best is yet to come. You know, I think we've got tremendous leaders like Anna Ewing, who came from the private sector to really lead this network, and Fiona Arnold, who leads the office at the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. These are incredible folks that we should all raise up and really be excited about. So stay tuned to what's next, and couldn't be more excited to be doing this. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you, Anna Ewing,
from COIN and Eric Matizek from Project Excite, and also the Chief Innovation Officer for the State of Colorado. You've been listening to Connect and Collaborate.